Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need, and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of offering that only the priest could lawfully eat, and share it with his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Today in this passage from the letter to the Hebrews, it's meant to strengthen the Christians in faith. After all that we've been hearing in the letter to the Hebrews about Jesus as the enfleshed Word of God, the definitive Word who communicates all that God wanted to communicate, and how he wanted to communicate a message of following him through suffering and death to perfection and glory. And after yesterday, we looked at the beginning of the figure of Jesus, a high priest, doing all his work precisely in order to complete the work of the Old Testament and bring us to definitive salvation. It comes today to a message of incredible hope to Christians at a time of persecution. Right before this, in a passage that we don't have, it talks about not falling back. Once we've received this message, once we've started to walk in this way, don't quit, don't lose heart. And today it describes, God's not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love you've demonstrated for his name. Now you're continuing to serve the holy ones. Sees what you're trying to do, just don't quit, keep going. "We earnestly desire each of you," sacred scripture, the message given to us by God is for every single one of us. Not just for the whole, but for each of us. "We earnestly desire each of you to demonstrate that same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you might not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promises." Who are those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promises? Those are the martyrs. Don't become sluggish. Don't quit. Imitate them. Persevere in faith and patience until the end, because the promises are worth it. It's key for us to always ask, do we still have the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope? You can think about the eagerness we had in those zealous times of our life. For many of us, it was around the time of our first Holy Communion. For many of us, were daily Mass goers, it would be the time where the light bulb went off and we said, "It's really God, and I should be receiving him as often as possible and starting to come to the Lord to receive him every day." Those major stages in conversion are times of great eagerness for God. We need to constantly revisit and rekindle those experiences. Because the temptation is that we will become sluggish. Temptation is that we'll just look backward and say, "I've got enough stored up." God's trying to call each of us today to look toward the martyrs like St. Sebastian, like St. Fabian, whom the church celebrates today, and imitate their virtues to the end, to remain strong until the end. You know, I'm not sure if any of you are football fans. But on Sunday, we had a game other than the Patriots game. It's one of the greatest games in playoff history. The opponent of the Patriots in the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks, excuse me, were down 19-7 with just over 4 minutes to go in the game. And they got the ball, and they ended up scoring 2 touchdowns and winning the game in overtime when nobody would have ever thought they would have won. It would have been very easy for them to totally throw in the towel. They had had a good season. They were defending Super Bowl champions. But they played until the very end. In sports, are always meant to be a microcosm of life. That just like the Seattle Seahawks didn't quit, but persevered to the end and actually won a game that they absolutely should have lost. So us, not to become sluggish, but to imitate players like that, playing until the very end. In order to strengthen us, the letter to the Hebrews gives us a very powerful example. That God swore a covenant, swore an oath about all his promises to Abraham, so that Abraham would know that those promises are true. And then after talking about that oath that God had made with Abraham, talks about the significance of it for all of us. So when God wanted to give the heirs of the promise an even greater demonstration of the immutability of his promise, he intervened with an oath so that by two immutable things, himself and his oath, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. What covenant are we talking about? We're talking about the new and eternal covenant that Jesus came and sealed in his blood. If Abraham were able to be buoyed by God's making a covenant with Abraham, how much more should we be lifted up by the fact that God loved each of us enough that he came and made an unbreakable covenant with us? Then it gives us an incredible image. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil, where Jesus has entered on our behalf as a forerunner, becoming high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That image behind the veil is first an image of the Holy of Holies in the temple, where the high priest could enter one day a year on the Day of Atonement to pray before the Lord. And that was a great hope that God was there and was inviting the people to come on in, represented by the high priest, in order to beg for the forgiveness of their sins. They had great hope that their sins could be forgiven because God had set it up that way. And the veil we're talking about here is the veil of the clouds, the veil of heaven, where Jesus the high priest is gone. And that's our great hope. It says it's a sure and firm anchor of the soul. Sailors will know, anybody who's normally out on stormy seas, when it's really rough, when you drop that anchor and it hits, you have great hope that you're not going to be capsized there, that you're not going to be carried by the waves further and further out. We've got that type of anchor that is rooted in heaven. We've thrown the anchor upward, so we have incredible confidence. Jesus the high priest has entered as the forerunner there to pray for us. And so if Abraham had a covenant which gave him hope, we have a greater covenant. If the Jews received hope because of the high priest going into the Holy of Holies and pleading for the forgiveness of sins, so much more do we have hope that Jesus has gone there. If a sailor has hope because of an anchor laying at the bottom of the sea so that he won't end up in shipwreck, how much greater when we have the anchor thrown beyond the clouds that's landed in the eternal promised land. This is why we shouldn't become sluggish. This is why we should demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, imitating those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promises. Today's gospel, we see a little image of what Jesus wishes to do for us in life so that we can achieve the fulfillment of that hope that he wants us to long for with the same eagerness as always. He gives the example of Abiathar the high priest and David, when David and his soldiers fighting for the Lord were hungry and there was no food to be found anywhere. They went into the temple and they ate the showbread, the bread that was offered before Almighty God, that after the bread was there for a certain length of time, it became the food of the priests and only the priests. And David said, my soldiers are hungry and we need to eat it. And Jesus used it as a justification that there are certain things that are more important than the ceremonial rites of the offering of bread to the Lord. For example, if somebody were starving, if there were a homeless man coming and I didn't have any food over the rectory, of course I could give him unconsecrated hosts to eat. because there's a higher purpose than even that would eventually be used for the altar if somebody's starving. It's a clear thing, but Jesus was also using it as a sign that as the Son of David, he would go into not just the holies where the showbread was, but the Holy of Holies for us here on earth, constantly intervening to save us from the false interpretations of the law, which is what we were seeing with the scribes and the Pharisees about the Sabbath. Jesus is constantly piercing those clouds, piercing those boundaries, piercing those ceilings for us so that we can persevere with that same eagerness. Today on this feast of Saint Sebastian and Saint Fabian, great martyrs, those who give us an example of the courage, of the eagerness until the end that we're all supposed to imitate. Jesus pierces the veil anew in order before his Father to plead for us as he at the same time wants to take us with him behind the veil. And that's what he does mystically whenever we receive him in Holy Communion. As we prepare to do so now, we ask the Lord through this great gift to help us to have that hope until the end so that our heart might be where our anchor is, beyond the clouds with Jesus, where he awaits us forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.